The story is told of a bishop who was making his way across the Atlantic Ocean on an ocean liner in the days before flying across the Atlantic was possible. And it came as no surprise to him, once he was on board the ship, to discover that he was sharing his cabin with another man. The man was a complete stranger to him. And it didn't take long for the other man to come into the cabin as well. And the bishop couldn't help himself but look the man up and down a couple of times and decide that he wasn't quite sure that this was a man who could be trusted. Now, the bishop didn't have many valuables with him, but the few that he did have, he went up and spoke to the purser on the ship and asked if his valuables could be placed in the ship's safe for safekeeping for the duration of the voyage, and briefly explained to the purser his reason for doing so. "Yes, of course, Bishop," replied the purser. "Actually, the man who you're sharing your cabin with came up not long ago and did exactly the same thing for the same reason." "Do not judge," said Jesus. Of all the verses in the Bible, that opening line in Matthew chapter 7, because the first verse is extremely brief, as we saw from the reading, "do not judge," or "judge not," as it appears there in our New King James translation, "that you be not judged." That's the entirety of the first verse. One of the most misunderstood, misquoted, and misapplied verses that Christians often quite readily bandy about amongst each other. Of course, we often find ourselves, well, at least thinking it, even if we don't say it, if someone criticizes us over something. Doesn't the Bible say, "Do not judge"? Well, it's going to be important for us to understand exactly what it is that the Lord Jesus is talking about when he says this. And this is actually an introduction this evening to this great theme that Jesus turns to at the beginning of chapter 7. He's beginning a brand new chapter in his sermon. Of course, there wasn't a big number 7 in his sermon as he was preaching it, but it is a very new phase in the sermon that he's preaching. And he turns his attention to something different. Well, first of all, of course, we need to consider what Jesus means by the word judge. Because in the Bible, the word judge is used in a number of different ways and can have a variety of connotations and meanings. Let me just take you through a few verses just to see that that can be the case. Let's think about the word judge as we find it used in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 15. Paul says, well, let's start at verse 14. "Therefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say." So in that context, the word judge means to weigh carefully and to form an opinion. Let's look at another occasion where the word is used. And this is in Luke chapter 7. Now, I'm not bothering to mention the Greek that lies behind this. The verses themselves are sufficient for us to see that the word can have different meanings. Luke chapter 7. We're looking at verse 43. But let's begin to read at verse 41. Jesus is speaking. "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him more?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose the one whom he forgave more." And Jesus said to him, "You have rightly judged." So in that occasion, the word judge is being used to say to come to a conclusion about something and to work something out for yourself that is clear from what I've just taught you. Then another occasion, we've got four of these altogether. Here's number 3. in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. Don't worry, Graham, I'm not stealing any thunder for Lydia. Now, verse 14 we'll begin at. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. So there, the word judged is being used to say, if you so regard me, if you consider these things to be true of me, if you consider my testimony to be trustworthy, judge. And then one final one in John's Gospel and chapter 18. And this is the sense in which we're very familiar of the word judge being used. This is concerning the Lord Jesus himself. We find Pontius Pilate is speaking. Pilate said to them, "You take him," that is Jesus, "and judge him according to your law." So there the word judge is being used in the way that we're very familiar with, to put someone on trial in a court of law and to judge them. So when Jesus uses the word judge in Matthew 7, we need to ask ourselves, in what manner is Jesus speaking? What does he mean when he uses the word judge? And when he tells us that we are not to judge, that we be not judged. Well, the first thing we need to remind ourselves of is that in the whole context of this sermon, Jesus is putting into practice, he's fleshing out what it means to live out the life of a Christian believer, as a follower of Christ. Those Beatitudes that he begins with at the start of chapter 5, where he lists all the characteristics of a Christian. When you come to Christ, when the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, they are the things that make up the new nature that you are. You are a new creation in Christ. And those Beatitudes describe that nature that God gives you. What does that look like in practice? Well, here the Lord Jesus is telling us. So we need to remember that that's the context in which Jesus is speaking. And we also need to remember a very important fact, which is that Jesus is talking about the fact that we do not have the kind of righteousness that the Pharisees accounted as righteousness. Righteousness for them was a self-righteousness. It was a, yes, I've ticked all the boxes, so God is pleased with me, kind of righteousness. And Jesus is saying no. So in any respect whereby the Pharisees may have judged people, then Jesus is actually saying straight away by implication that, well, actually, the way that you see the Pharisees judge people, well, that's not the way to be going. And Jesus says that we're not to judge. So what are we to make of this? Well, what we can't do is take that verse in isolation and just think straight away that Jesus is saying that in no way and in no circumstance can Christians be judgmental. Because if we take that verse in isolation, that could be the conclusion that we come to. Which is often why Christians are so will so often be heard quoting the verse to others. Well, the Bible says don't judge. But the Bible says an awful lot more than just Matthew 7 verse 1 on the subject of judging. And what I want to do this evening by way of introduction is to point out the fact that the Bible actually tells us that we as Christian believers are to exercise judgment and discernment in a number of different ways. And that this verse here in no way eradicates those, in no way does it contradict them, and in no way does it cancel them out. We need to remember that. So what I want to do is remind us of some of the ways, first, in which the Bible says that we are to exercise judgment and that we are to exercise discernment. And as we do so, to remember that when Jesus says, do not judge, he's not talking about any of these things. He's not saying, forget that you were taught. These things are still important. These things are still necessary. And I trust that as we consider some of the things that the Bible says we are to do in exercising judgment and discernment, that will really help us to hit the nail properly on the head when next week we consider what it really means when Jesus says, do not judge. So let's look at some examples together as to the kind of things that as Christians we should be watchful over, and we should be operating a degree of judgment and discernment. And actually, this evening, rather than bringing the message, don't judge, I actually want to encourage you in the things that we should be judging and in the areas where we should have discernment. So let's look at some together. Let's turn, first of all, to Luke's Gospel and chapter 12. We have a few to look at, which give a kind of a broad overview of this topic. It's by no means exhaustive or comprehensive. I'm sure some of you will be able to think of others, but these that we have this evening are sufficient for our time to get a good broad overview as to the kind of discernment and judgment that we do need to exercise as Christians. So we're starting in Luke 12. Page 921 in a church Bible. 921 is the page number. Sorry, no, it's 922. And we're going to begin reading at verse 54. Now, this is Jesus speaking again. Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, a shower is coming. And so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there will be hot weather. And there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and of the earth. But how is it you do not discern this time? Yes, and why, even of yourselves, do you not judge what is right? So Jesus says there is a place in the life of a follower of Christ. There is a place in the life of a disciple of Christ and of a child of God to exercise discernment and understanding. Let's have a look in John's Gospel and chapter 7. We're on page 946 in the church Bible. John chapter 7, verses 23 to 24. This is Jesus speaking again. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Well, there we have another occasion when Jesus is not forbidding judgment of any sort. What he's saying is, don't be judging in a certain way. And there's an important key when we come back to Matthew 7 next week. Don't be judging in a certain way and in a certain matter. Judge with righteous judgment. And Jesus, of course, is laying bare the complete hypocrisy of the Pharisees in the things that they teach. They're prepared to circumcise someone on the Lord's Day, on the Sabbath day. It wasn't the Lord's Day for them, but on the Sabbath day, they're prepared to circumcise someone in order that they're fulfilling the law. But when Christ comes along and heals someone, they're throwing up their hands in horror. Jesus says, you're spiritually blind. You're spiritually dead, you men, that you cannot see how much better it must be to make a man completely whole than to simply fulfill one tiny bit of the law by offering him circumcision. And so Jesus is encouraging these men, although they're incapable of it, to judge righteously, to judge as God would judge. And that's encouraged in those who are children of God. Then we're going to go back, actually, where we began in Matthew chapter 7. Page 855. So this, of course, is a verse that we'll be looking at in more detail later on in our studies through the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." So Jesus is saying, look, there's going to be people who are going to try and pull the wool over your eyes. There's going to be people who will try and lead you astray, but they're going to try and put on the impression that what they're saying is the truth, but actually it's a lie, and they're deceivers. So he's saying, look, you need to be aware of this. And you need actually to be able to spot them and look out for them. You need to know the signs that might be there. You need to know the truth so that when a lie comes along, you can see it for what it is. You need to operate discernment. Christians aren't to be people who are led around by the nose or have the wool pulled over their eyes again and again and again. That's dishonoring to the Lord to live like that, Jesus says. You need to operate judgment and discernment. Well, let's come away from the Gospels and just have a look at some references from the New Testament letters. Let's look first of all at Ephesians chapter 5 and listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he addresses the Ephesian believers. Page 1040 in the Church Bible. We'll begin to read at verse 8. It's actually verse 11 that we're going to use, but we'll begin to read at verse 8. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." Let me just pause there for a second. Just remind you again what we saw this morning. Two types of people in the world. Your darkness or your light. I want to also just remind you what the Bible actually says there. It doesn't say you were in darkness and that you will be brought into light. It actually says something even more remarkable. It actually says you were darkness, but now you are light. Well, we don't have time to go into that in more detail, but that's astounding. Are you darkness? Or in Christ, by his grace, are you light? Let's read on. "Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." Finding out, you see. Using the mind that God has given you and that in Christ is renewed when you come to him. "And," verse 11, "have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." So as Christians, we have to be aware that there are those around us who aren't living according to the same rules and standards that we are. There are those around us who aren't living according to God's word. They might even infiltrate the church. They might not infiltrate our church here in Belvedere Road, but they might elsewhere and be of great influence. They may even come in here. You need to be able to spot them. That means exercising judgment and being discerning. There's another aspect of judgment as well. And we see these in our next two references. The first one is in 2 Thessalonians. And it's chapter 3 of 2 Thessalonians, page 1052. It's verse 6. "But we command you, brethren..." Command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's something significant. The Lord Jesus is giving us a commandment in Matthew 7. Through the mouth of the apostle, the Lord Jesus is giving us another commandment here in 2 Thessalonians 3:6. We command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. Now, for that to happen in the life of any church, that means that as the Lord's people together, we have to make judgments. We have to come to decisions. We have to come to conclusions about people and about people sitting on the chairs next to us. That's not easy. It's not always pleasant. It can be done in a very bad way. It can be done in a way that does great harm to everyone else in the church. And so it has to be exercised with great love and with great care. But it has to be done. And so there are times when corporately, as the Lord's people, we are asked, actually we're not, are we? We're commanded to exercise judgment and discernment within the Lord's body. Let's consider another verse, and this is from the book of Romans, back a few pages in your Bible, chapter 16, the final chapter of Paul's letter, in the Church Bible, page 1012. Similar subject at stake here. Romans 16, verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offences, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Now again, we could go into that verse in great detail. It's important to remember that the divisions and offences that are to be looked at, the divisions and offences that are to be a cause of concern, are those which concern doctrine, truth. Avoid them. Now, how can you do any of those things without exercising judgment? You can't. It's impossible. How can you do those things without exercising discernment together as part of the body of Christ? It's impossible. And these are clear commands and exhortations towards us from the Word of God. One final text that we'll look up together. Hebrews chapter 5. Page 1064, Hebrews 5, beginning at verse 12 through to 14. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, on the subject of judging, there's an interesting verse. The writer to the Hebrews says, it is expected of every Christian that you will grow and mature and not stay as a baby. That you will all move on from only being able to take milk and be able to take solid food. That you'll be able to get your teeth stuck into doctrine and understanding the Bible better. And growing in your relationship with God. Who by reason of use, because you do this often, because you do this regularly, because it's your habit to do it, you're constantly exercising judgment and discernment. You're bringing things back to the Word of God and saying, is this so? You don't just take whatever anyone says. To discern both good and evil. Surely it's clear from the Word of God that there is a huge amount of judgment and discernment that's required to live at all in this world. Even more, to live as a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus has made it clear that ordinary people exercise judgment every single day. And we see it all around us, and we're glad that they do. Most of us probably have come here in cars this evening. You are very glad that all the other motorists on the road this evening have exercised judgment while you've been coming here. Or most of us would all be in the queue in A&E at the Royal. Because it's an ordinary fact of life that we have to exercise judgment. Now, if that's true of everyone, how much more, and that's what comes across throughout the scripture, how much more should the Lord's people be exercising judgment and discernment after righteousness? And that's a very big key for us as to the kind of things that Jesus is addressing when he says, do not judge. Some of you will have heard of the American pastor and teacher Charles Swindoll, better known to his friends as Chuck. Well, he's American. So Chuck Swindoll recounted the time when he was speaking at a Christian camp in California. On the very first day of the conference, a man approached him and said, Dr. Swindoll, I have been so looking forward to hearing you preach. I've read a number of your books. They've been extremely helpful and beneficial to my Christian life. And I've longed to have the opportunity to sit under your ministry. And I'm so glad that that opportunity has finally come. And he wished Dr. Swindoll well and said he would be praying for him and tried to encourage him as they embarked on this conference together. Well, that evening, as Chuck Swindoll got up to speak, he noticed the same man sitting very near the front. And he was all clearly eager and attentive and longing to hear. And so Dr. Swindoll was absolutely astonished to notice, after about 5 minutes, the man, his eyes were starting to look a little bit heavy. And after 10 minutes, his head was obviously nodding from time to time, and he was really struggling to stay awake. And within 15 minutes, the guy was clearly fast asleep. And Dr. Swindoll couldn't really understand it, given what he'd just said earlier in the day. How much he's been looking forward to hear me. And the guy's fallen asleep, first sermon. Well, he struggled really to carry on. It really discouraged him as he was preaching, but he struggled on and finished. Well, he didn't have a chance to speak to the man again before the next session when he was speaking. And it was the following morning. And he thought, well, maybe the guy's come a long journey. Some people have traveled for many, many hours to get here. Maybe he was just tired after the journey. I really just should forgive the man. Hopefully he's had a good night's rest and he's raring to go, ready. And he stood up when it was his time and he started to speak again. And exactly the same thing happened. And within 15 minutes, the guy was fast asleep, right at the front. And the third session came, and it happened again. And a fourth session, and it happened again. And Dr. Swindoll recalls that it was one of the most frustrating and discouraging days of ministry he'd ever had, when this man, who'd so buoyed him up on their first meeting, just fell asleep on every occasion. Wow, he said. Well, If that's the effect my preaching is having on someone who is so looking forward to hearing me, how on earth is everyone else staying awake? How is this going down with everyone else? At the end of that day, a lady came up to speak to Chuck Swindle. "Dr. Swindle," she said, "I just want to say what a great thrill it's been to be able to sit under your ministry. I believe my husband spoke to you yesterday. He's so enjoyed being here with the Lord's people. I do just need to apologize for him. My husband is very seriously ill with cancer. He has very strong drugs to take, and he really struggles to stay awake. But he's so delighted to be sitting under your ministry." Well, Dr. Swindle wished the ground could open beneath his feet and that he would just sink into it. "Do not judge," says the Lord Jesus. We need to approach these few verses in Matthew 7 really carefully. We need to make sure that we really grasp what it is that Jesus is talking about. From our brief study this evening, I hope we've been able to see that Jesus is not saying, "Believers, under no circumstance should you ever, ever exercise judgment." And as we continue, we'll see that that's clearly the case. But I also do want you to remember that there are things, some very clearly taught things, some hugely important things, where the Bible says you must exercise judgment. You must live and walk and talk with discernment. You need to do it in the world outside, and you need to do it within the church as the Lord's people. Jesus has a very particular type of judging in mind when he gives this exhortation to the Lord's people. And next week, God willing, if the Lord spares us, we'll begin to unwrap it and see exactly what that is.